Our reading today is John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 1 to 10. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. This is the word of the Lord.
Now this tremendous scripture we've got today, I love these verses, these chapters of John. It's the discourse that Jesus has with his disciples before he's taken and arrested and is crucified. He says a lot in these chapters, and I think it was far too much for the disciples to take in. I don't think they perhaps understood too much until later on, after the resurrection, and when the Holy Spirit came to bring them into the knowledge of all and who Jesus was. But let's just have a look before we get to our subject. The things that Jesus spoke about before he went to the cross, and he seemed to pack so much in, I don't think I would have remembered much about it. Jesus predicted his death. I'm not quite sure the disciples knew quite what that was going to mean. He washed his disciples' feet and told them, do unto others as I've done unto you. He predicted his betrayal. He predicted Peter's denial of him. He comforted his disciples. He set up the institution of the Lord's Supper. He said that he was the way to the Father. He promised them the Holy Spirit. He told them their grief would turn to joy. And he prayed for his disciples and believers. And then after that, he was arrested. Now, there's a particular theme running through this, which I believe, and I think it's something that God would have us lay hold of. And that is that Jesus wants us to love one another. God loves us. And I say this to everyone here today. It doesn't matter to me if you're a regular churchgoer, whether you've never been in a church in your life, or whether you're a regular and you have a real faith. I'm telling you, God loves you, and he wants to put his arms around you and care about you. He's in your hearts. And if you don't know him in a personal way, let me just say this, we can help you here today. I tell you, this is the best Christmas present you'll ever have. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, and he's real to you, please let one of us pray for you today, and then you could know him. The best Christmas present on offer, better than any of these manifestos that are being offered to us at the present time, I can assure you. So Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now that's really important, the true vine. They obviously living in the Middle East, they knew what a vine was, they knew how it works, they knew about pruning. But what did Jesus mean when he said, he was the true vine? The vine in the Old Testament was very much a name for old Israel. the name for God's people in the Old Testament and coming into New. The vine was the name for the old systems of worship and God's people. But when Jesus said, I am the true vine, he said, I'm taking over. All the old stuff is going away. You need to relate to me because I am the one and only true vine. And that was quite a significant thing to say. I don't think they realised it at the time. It was only later they realised that Jesus was quite revolutionary, you know. He came to change things because he spoke. He didn't want an outward system of worship. He wanted a change in men's hearts. And this is what this is all about. Jesus, what does it mean to be pruned? What is Jesus after? What is Jesus saying? What sort of fruit does Jesus want in our lives? Well, I think there's a few verses down from our reading which tells us what he's after. And I'll just read it to you now. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So this great command of Jesus is to love one another. It's not necessarily about going to all the church meetings, going to all the prayer meetings, doing more work in the service of the gospel. That might be good, by all means. But the real heart of our faith is the fact that we understand God's love for us and that from that love we show that love to other people. Let me read you something here. And I'm sure you'll understand, if you know anything about yourself, that you don't love as well as you should do. You know, there are certain things, the way we've been brought up, the way life has affected us, that stop us perhaps loving in the way Jesus wants us to. So sometimes when Jesus talks about pruning, he knows that he has to challenge those things in our lives. That's not to harm us, it's because he loves us and he wants us to love him more and love others more. Let's just read a little bit from 1 Corinthians 13. This is what the Apostle Paul says about love. Love is patient. Well, I've got a few lessons to learn there. You ask my wife. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's a good one, isn't it? How many of us here has held a grudge? We'd all put up our hands, wouldn't we? But that's not what God wants from us, you see. Love does not delight in evil, but delights in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And that's amazing. And you know, God said these things to us. Jesus said these things to us in the gospel, but Paul reiterates again here in the gospel to Corinthians, the message to Corinthians. He says to us, love is the thing that God's after. Because if we love, we're reflecting the heart of God. God loves this world. It might seem hard at times to believe that, but he does love it. And he wants us to love. He wants us to be the people who show his love to the world. So we must love too. And not only that, if we go this way, it'll bring peace and joy to our own hearts. If we can let go of things which we know cause us grief and stress and worry and anxiety, if we can let go of those bad feelings towards other people, those jealousies, whatever it may be, that impatience, God says, let that go and you will know my peace and you will bear much fruit for me. It's a wonderful thing to bear fruit for Jesus, you know. It really is, you know, we can do things, we can talk to people, and it's not great big things. You don't have to be stood up here preaching. You can be just on a bus, a smile, and just say good morning, and talk to somebody, Talk to somebody who's lonely. Bring a smile into their lives. It's just small things. Just small things. Jesus loves us all here today. And he wants us to show that love to other people. Thank you. Amen.